Morning, everybody. Welcome, everybody, in the name of the Lord. We're going to read first in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. In verse 27, I always find myself thinking of most of the time of the beginning always, and it's just because we find how God made things and how good things were back then in the beginning. We're going to read here in Genesis 1 and 27. So God created man in his own image. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. Created he them. Verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. We'll be reading a little bit more and as we go on, and we'll ask the Lord to bless the reading of his word as we continue reading. But right here, like I said, I like going always to the beginning. When I have my private time, I read, and then I always think of the beginning all the time. Depends on what I read, but most of the time I do go back to the beginning and see how things were back in the beginning. And we see here that God created all things from the light, the waters, the animals, the trees, everything that we could see now, God has created. And he said that all things were good when he created them, as he was going and creating things. But when he came to create man, then after that he said that things were very good. So we see there that he was very happy with what he had created. And it says that he created in his own image. He created male and female. We have that he created many different types of animals. And we see how different they are. We have the lion, that's the king of the jungle, as they call him. All the way down to the ant that crawls at our houses and our picnic areas and our different places. And we see how great each one could be in its own habitat. We actually don't see lions in his own habitat, but we could read of them and we could see how they're studied in different videos. But we see ants, how great they are also. They're at school, I learned that ants can carry 50 times over their weight, and I can see it when I was eating lunch one day at work. I had dropped a piece of whatever I was eating, and it was pretty big. It was at least 10 times bigger than that ant. And she was just pulling and struggling, but she carried it maybe like from here to out the door. And she would not quit. And that was just like how amazing how God can create all these different things, you know, and it's just amazing. And I'd love to just think of stuff like that when I see it. But here when he created male and female, he did it in his own image. We could think a little bit on that. And how is it that we bear his image? I was just telling you guys about these two different animals, how different they are. One being the king of the jungle that no animal could overcome him and attack him or the ant, that it's so powerful and how he could carry things and be able to take it so he could survive over the winter. But when we come to ourselves, male and female, boy and girl, young man, young lady, and then as we go older, we're men and women. How different we are from these different types of animals, giraffes, elephants. Just you imagine of every type of different of animal that you could imagine when you go to the zoo or when you could look at them when you go to the zoo. We have his, we're like God because we have something that is like God. In John 4:24, it says that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We see there that he is a spirit, and we ourselves have the same a spirit. We have a physical body that we can look at and we could touch. But when it comes to the spirit, that's what's inside of us. We have a soul and we have a spirit, and the spirit is a part that connects with God. And we see that in the beginning, how the fellowship that he had with Adam and Eve, we don't see that in our time, because the bond that they had in that time was different. They were pure. They were able to speak with God. But now in our time, that's not the way it is now. Sin came into the world and that bond was broken. But God has made us to be this way, that we can have a fellowship with him, not how they did it, but in a spiritual way. I think it's a way far better than it is to touch and to feel. It's a way that you could connect with thoughts and knowing that he could understand you while you're driving down the road and you're not able to move your mouth while you're talking with him. You could just think of it and he'll listen to you. And when you read his word, you could understand what he's trying to get to you across the way when you read his word. And I just would like you to think, he didn't make any other type of living thing that he created like us. The love that he had and the care that he did the animals with, he did them with love and care. But how much more was it that he did us with? How much more love that he wanted to have us to communicate with him? But like I said, that was broken when sin came into the world. Now our lives are gone away from him. The things that we do will push us farther away from God than we could imagine. And then when we find that out, like a day like today, when you're being told that you're created in the image of God and that you have a way to connect with him, you have the ability to know the right from wrong. Not like the many animals that don't know right from wrong and don't have a conscience of this was wrong or this was right. I can continue doing this. I cannot continue doing that. This is the way he made us. Being able to understand each day a little bit more of how to live life, of how to do your job better at work or at school. We have the ability to learn. We see kids. I have 5 and I see them, how much they have grown. We still have a little one that's 5 and I know she's going to get to a point when she's going to know maybe more than what I know. And my kids, I know they know some things that I don't know. And that's just amazing how we are, that we can learn all these things, different things. That's how God made us. And knowing that you're that important to him, that he gave you that understanding, not like the other animals. He gave us how, it says here, how he gave man dominion over all things, in the sea, all the birds, all the beasts. There's no ant, how you can, maybe a bunch of ants could get bricks and build a wall and then a roof and then create his own house. They don't do that. They're made to a limit of what they're gonna do, but not us. If you look at ruins of different places. They started with clay bricks, and then they moved up to different types of material, and now we see beautiful homes, and we see different types of things that are made. Cars changed. We have the ability to do so much, and God gave us that ability to do it. But we also have the ability to know that God made us in His own image because He wanted to have a relationship with us. He wants us to know that He loves us. And how do we know that He loves us? Because we have this great ability of understanding and learning and doing all these things. But how far greater it is that He gave the only one that was so precious to Him to go on the cross and die for us. There's nothing far better to know than you were loved, you were made with such love and such care to give you this great amount of understanding and knowledge. But to know that He also did that for us. He gave His Son to be nailed on the cross for our sins. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was whipped. He was done things that we cannot even imagine that we read about. And we would read about it. His back was like a plowed field. That's how we read about it. You know, I mean, we're made this way, and we have the understanding to believe it. And that is what He has given us. And that this time, I could not count the times that I've been in a meeting. I cannot count the times that I've heard messages in my life, but I know that there's some here that also cannot do that, can't count the messages that they've heard, the prayer meetings that they've been to, the Sunday school meetings that they've gone to. But I think most of us here have heard of this great God that created such great things and has done such great work and what we can see. But the greatest work that He has ever done is giving His own Son to die for us on the cross of Calvary. So we were made this way to understand and to be how we are, being the dominion species in this world. But also where we read in Genesis, we read that He told, and verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. We see the world as being, well, we know that they multiplied how He commanded them to do, so we know that there's many different races and many different cultures and different people that we know. But where it says, be fruitful, I just want to touch on that a little bit. It's a metaphor that is being used here. It's, we're not going to grow fruits off of our own selves. We know that. But the thing is that it's saying that the, what we do is what comes out of each life. What I have lived, I'm bearing fruit from what I have done. And everybody here is going to bear fruit from whatever they have done. So the fruit here is the work that we have done, good or bad, it all has fruit. And we're going to read in Matthew 27. Matthew 7. Matthew 7 and verse 17. I think I got that wrong. Oh, sorry, I meant Mark. Sorry about that. Okay, then. Okay. Then even so, a tree bearing bringeth forth good fruit, but the corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down, or cut down, and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Okay, here we see how we are made in His image, how we were thinking, and then now we got to this point about fruit. And this is a very important thing that we could learn, is that what a good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit. So after the fall of mankind, when sin came into the world, that's when we could say that we all bear bad fruit, because we're sinful and we are at a place that is far from God, and our deeds are bad deeds. And we do good deeds, but the bad deeds are the ones that are against what God has, God is against. And by these deeds that we do, that decides where we're going to be in eternity. We could do many different things that we were singing, that crying cannot save you, or praying cannot save you. We cannot outweigh our bad deeds. Our deeds could be as good as we want, but if we don't have Christ in our lives and we don't have Him as our Savior, that is not going to save us, as we do good in our lives. And if we do come to meetings, like I said, like I can't count the meetings that I've been to, that is not going to save me. So with the understanding that God has given me, to be able to understand that I was a bad tree at once, but now that I can understand that He is the one that made me, and He loves me so that He made me this way, to understand, knowing that my bad deeds will not outweigh my good deeds. If I give to a charity every year, that's not going to save me. If I pray for an hour a day, that's not going to save me. The only way that we can be saved is by believing in what He has done, and believing in what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross. That's the only way that we could be saved. And if today you could understand that we are bad trees when we are born, and God has given you opportunity today to be that fruitful tree that's going to bear good fruit. At another place, here we see that bad trees, what happens to those bad trees? They're cut down and they're hewed down and cast into the fire. Right there we could see that those that do not accept what God has done for them, to have given His Son, that fire that they're going to be cast into is going to be the lake of fire. So if you have not trusted in Christ, and death finds you, or the Christ comes to take His people, there's going to be a place where they're all going to be, those that don't believe are going to be cast into, and that's the lake of fire. We could think of this being that tree that is being cut down and being cast into that fire. Those that are not able or are not willing to receive what God has given. It's His Son that died on the cross for our sins. And it says here, therefore, by their fruit ye shall know them. It's not saying, or I don't want to say, by looking at people we could know they're going to end up in heaven or they're going to end up in hell. I've known good people and I've known bad people. And that doesn't mean by me knowing that they're good or bad, or I could say they're good or bad, they're going to go to heaven or hell. But I can tell you by knowing, and what I read in the Word of God, is that there is one that does know exactly how we are. We cannot say this person is bad and he's going to go to the lake of fire. That person is good, he's going to go to heaven. But there's only one person that knows, and he knows that you received or that you rejected what he has given for you. And then Ephesians 1 and 13, and I would like to read that. Ephesians 1 and 13. In whom ye also trust, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also there that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Here we see that you are sealed after you believe the truth. What I have been speaking is nothing that I have wrote down, that I made up. It's what I have found in this book here. That's the Word of God. And it says that, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth. And the word of truth is that God gave his son so sinners like you and like myself could come to God and receive that forgiveness of sins. We have the understanding to do great things in this world, and we have the ability to learn different things. But today, you have the ability to receive what God has given for you. He gave his son to take our place. He has given him to be our salvation. There's only one that we can go to in a time of need, in a time of trouble, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no one else that we can go to. And I can tell you and be sure, because it's written here. Last week we had a verse up here, and it says, cast your cares on him, for he cares for you. By knowing how he created me and what he has done so that I can be with him for all eternity, I know that he cares for me. There's no other way to understand it, but he cares. He gave us all this that we have. What can we just, or it would be wonderful to know that all of us in this room today could say, I believe in him, and I am grateful for the understanding that he has given me to receive what he has done. Is that is to receive his son as my Lord and Savior, the one who gave his life for me. And hopefully everybody could say that today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give thee thanks once again for this great opportunity that we have to hear thy word as it is written, that we are in need of a great Savior like thy Son. We have the understanding to do many things, but Father, we pray that you may give understanding for those that need it today, that they are on a way to a place called hell. And Father, we pray that none in this room today will be on that way today, and be on the way to heaven to be with thy Son for all eternity. For he careth for them, he loveth them, and we give thee thanks, Father, for that love that you have for us. In thy Son's name we pray. Amen.